Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary and what is seen is eternal. Amen. Those words come just a chapter before our text, and the whole section of 2 Corinthians 5 is just really filled with this theme here for Ash Wednesday. As we come together on Ash Wednesday, what are we looking at? It's dust to dust. We're looking at the truth. The truth that of who we are and what's ahead. The problem is that we always don't want to think about that and what often leads to that. What is the thing that causes us to not think about the truth? The truth opens doors, but we often don't want to think about that. And what I'd say is, from our other two readings today, what do we see? That pride is a huge problem. That pride often keeps us from seeing sin and death. We saw it with David, where he was so prideful that he could not see his own sin or admit it or really see what the problem was until Nathan came to him. And we see with the Pharisee and the tax collector that pride keeps us from seeing who we are, seeing our own sin. And we look at our world and how, just pride keeps people thinking that, we can live forever. That, we look at celebrities or people with money, and they think that if they just spend their way, maybe they don't have to think about life and death. And when you think about life, to think about what's true about us. This series talks about open doors and really how the truth that God gives us opens the door for us to come to Him. But we have to see the truth of us, that our hearts are open doors without Him. There are these things we call like idol factories that makes ourselves God, that finds anything else to trust in. And what God says, out of our heart comes all sorts of sinful thoughts. Murder, adultery, lust, greed. All these things that it's not from out there, but it's from here. And it's when I'm too prideful that I can't see that. That I think I'm better than others or I don't need Christ. But when we see that if we can see the truth, then we can see what we really need. I'm going to read just a few passages from earlier in the chapter because I think this sets the tone for what we read. The next verses, they might be, see if they're up on the screen next, from verses 14 and 15 of 2 Corinthians 5. It says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." This whole section of Corinthians 5, 2 Corinthians 5, is focusing on that we are going to die, but notice what has happened. Though we have this sin and death, we have something that changes us. Christ's love compels us. He died for all, so therefore all died. Christ lived and died for you to give you life. That if we understand that Christ lived and died for me, that I am now dead to my sin. That I can live a new life. That Christ's love compels me, that I no longer have to fear my sin, my pride. I don't have to fear these things, but Christ has died for you. That frees us to no longer be worried about sin and death, but to live. To live in His protection and His peace. To live this new life. I heard this concept recently, because there's so many thoughts on truth and untruth, but the truth is not afraid to be questioned. If you hear people that they get into debates and they just want to end it, or they don't want people to talk about things, if you have the truth, are you okay to be questioned? The truth is that God wants to forgive us, that we are sinful, and we come here on Ash Wednesday to admit we are dust. Our sins are going to bring us back into the grave. But the reality is looking and saying, what is the truth without Christ? We see that Christ's love compels us that we are alive in Christ, but what happens without Him? We see in verses 17 and 19 of 2 Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation that has come. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Him through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ Jesus, not counting people's sins against them. Whose sins did Jesus die for? The sins of the world that Jesus died for. This amazing thing. But what's the truth without Jesus? Even though He died for the sins of the world, if I'm too filled with pride and I don't want to go to Jesus, because we talk about what repentance is and we're afraid of repentance, sometimes we I don't want to admit what I've done, but then I don't get what God wants to give. God wants to give us forgiveness. And the truth is, without forgiveness in Christ, what is there? There's only death. God wants to give us a new life, but if I keep those sins, if I say God can't forgive me for those sins, or that I say this thing is not a sin, this thing that God has clearly said is a sin, and I'm going to hold it up, and I'm going to pretend that I didn't do it, or that it doesn't need forgiving, what is left? But death. But God wants to give us this reconciliation, this forgiveness. In our text, it says, therefore, as Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making His appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. I find this section of Scripture just so fascinating. It's this appeal, this just, God has forgiven you. Christ has forgiven you through His work. And it's this just appeal and saying, seek His forgiveness. Because without it, there's death. He's saying, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that what we might become the righteousness of God. That sin that we have is all put on Christ. He lived for you. He died for you to give you life, to give you the righteousness of God, so that I don't have to fear, so that we can come in dust and ashes and say, I have sinned, and we receive that beautiful forgiveness. So the imploring here is what he says here, as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he said, in the time of my favor I heard you, in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. When God says he wants us to live a new life, he doesn't want to have us living in that burden of worrying if my sin is too great. But to give it all to Him and to live for Him. This is that picture. To not live running from Him. To not hide from Him like David did. But to live, what it says, a life, a reconciled life. And if I live a reconciled life, what can I do to others? I can reconcile others. I can now be an ambassador for Christ. I can go to others and share this good news, because without it, it's exactly what Ecclesiastes talks about. Everything is meaningless. It's a breath. God gives us so many good things in life, but they're a breath. But when we live a reconciled life, He fills everything with this joy and forgiveness. And then I get to go and I get to give Him glory in what I do and lead others to be reconciled, to live in that forgiveness. And so, yes, we come here on Ash Wednesday in repentance. But repentance is not complete without forgiveness. Remember that. And think about this. What is the purpose of guilt? How long should you hold on to guilt? What is guilt supposed to do? Guilt is something we feel because of sin, and it's to drive us to God. And so it should be this short-term thing that is then going away because you are then forgiven. You are reconciled. Be reconciled to God because you have the righteousness of God. You can't earn it. It has only been given to you through Christ and His forgiveness. So my prayer as we go into this Lenten season is we don't hide from repentance. We don't hide from our sin, but we go to God to be forgiven, to be filled up, to be renewed, so that we can have that righteousness of God day after day, that today is the day of God's favor. Today is the day of salvation. And then we get to share that salvation with so many others who without Christ are only on their way to death. But you know what we have through that forgiveness? Is life now and life eternal. And that truth opens the door to His grace and forgiveness now and forever. Amen.